Hello and welcome to the RPPFM Basketball Show. I am your host, Nathan Jolly, waiting for our co-host, Mr. Darren Marnie Walsh. Bobby Dazzler is just caught in traffic at the moment. Oh, there you go, Mitch. A little bit of audience applause.
We've got the live audience in.
Yeah, a little bit of head wobbling, but you are on the RPPFM Basketball Show, 98.7 FM, brought to you by our great partners, Bobcats Basketball and also Frankston Basketball, powered by that great brand that is Frankston Mitsubishi, doing some great work for the... there you go, Mitch, good work. But without further ado, I've mentioned your name a few times. Mitch, welcome, mate.
Thank you, Nathan. Good to be back again this week.
It's nice having you back on the panel. It's it's been a little bit quiet last week without
I had a bit of a...
Behind the mic.
Tried a bit of a radio competition on a commercial network and saw how that went, which was all very interesting week. But, you know, good to be back in. Good to be back.
And we are all about winning here, but... with that, did you win the competition?
No, I didn't, unfortunately. No, it was... We basically, to cut a long story short, we had five strangers. We all had a reason for wanting to win $10,000. We had to come to a unanimous decision by the end of the week.
It's been a long week.
Yeah, exactly right. If we didn't, then it would go to the first caller who rang up the station. And one of the people in there was a little bit of a... I can't really say what... I have my thoughts about her on air, so... She basically threw the competition out the window and let it go to a caller, so...
Bummer.
Yeah, it happens. So what can you do?
Sorry to hear that, but about winning. But it's one of those things, mate. It's another day, but it has been a magnificent day on the Mornington Peninsula. We are in studio Mornington. It's I'll tell you what, autumn is just fighting off winter, and it's one of those things. It's nice to be living in God's country. But tonight is another big show on the RPPFM Basketball Show. We are jam-packed with guests, and as I introduce what's on tonight's show, we have Bobby Dazzler just slinking into the... welcome. Darren, how are you, mate? But big show. We're going to be talking to Steve Blackley, Frankston Basketball High Performance Manager, talking all things Senior Blues, Junior Blues, the VJBL Classic coming up. So our under-18s are qualified for that, which is fantastic. The Frankston Blues under-18 girls. Also talking about the men. Steve's on the road with the Senior Blues men on the way to Mount Gambier. So just coming into Mount Gambier as we go to air, which is great. Ryan Brokoff, the Peninsula and Basketball Show's own Ryan Brokoff, doing some great things at EuroLeague Final Four. So we're going to touch on that. And Dave Anderson, of course, doing some wonderful work, a local boy, plying his trade in France and the French League. They're coming into the playoffs. Looking forward to talking all things international hoops. We'll get the Lady Blues, VA Group Lady Blues head coach Mike Brookins on to talk all things Lady Blues. They had a great victory last week against Ballarat on the road by a point, which was a good job by Mikey and his team. And lastly, we always sort of wind the show up with Manny Hendricks Jr., Mr. Peninsula himself, talking all things Big V. Had a big outing last week, 41 points, I believe. So recovered from that so-called injury and is back doing what he does very well, Mr. Manny Hendricks. But Darren?
Yes, mate.
Welcome.
Better late than never.
Got caught in that Friday night rush.
Peak hour, it's crazy, I can tell you.
It is, and especially after a beautiful day. It's it's nice being having you back on deck. You were here last week. I thought you just got involved early, which was nice. This week, I'm looking for a little bit more production, mate.
Well, it's obviously it's about consistency when you're coming off the bench. So from my point of view, hopefully we'll land a few, and we'll see how we go. But all good.
Now it has been a big week for Frankston basketball.
Every week's a big week for you, mate.
It is, but we were very fortunate to get a pretty special announcement in terms of the forthcoming federal election. And I'm going with the headlines, so I'm following the run sheet, mate. But 2nd of July, Malcolm Turnbull's called the election. With that, we were very fortunate enough to have the Labor candidate for Dunkley, Peter Murphy, come down to the stadium on Tuesday to announce, if elected, if the Labor government is elected or the Labor Party is to form government, the Frankston basketball would be committed to $2.55 million.
Is this extra funding?
Extra funding on top of the $12.45 million.
You're not going to count that then, are you?
No, but it's a little cherry on top. But with that, it allows us money to include really key elements of the facility expansion, and that is 1,000 retractable seats, which would be something that I would have felt you would have put in the project from the get-go, but it's one of those things. Frankston City thought that it might be an extra.
Especially considering you guys spent some time in the US trying to look at seats.
Well, not so much looking at seats, but we do host major events like the Opals last year against Japan, and we are going to have the University of Washington, the University of Eastern Washington. So we're going to sell out 500 seats quite easily. So
as you do that regularly though on a set day.
Additional money, we will secure a mezzanine community club, domestic club and function area, which is most important. Darren, you've been there on a Saturday when we're trying to give out trophies and it's just bedlam. You know this.
I do.
And then another $1 million down payment on a future high performance center, which is really going to be the centerpiece of the $2.55 million. So we're able, talking about those university teams, talking about our high performance athletes, that we're able to really nourish and foster a high performance culture from the grassroots level all the way up to our elite athletes. And when David and Ryan come home, they get to use that, as well as supporting a schools partnership program, which is around working with the schools in our municipality to bring students in through the High Performance Centre and through service providers of Basketball Victoria and Basketball Australia, that we're able to expose young students to elite athletes, the role model aspect, but also building in life skills to a younger demographic, which I think is really important. And the person that's brought all that together is with us on the line, Peter Murphy. Hello. Welcome to the Basketball Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
You're with Nathan, co-host, Nathan Jolly, the co-host, and also Darren Marnie Walsh of the Bobcats Basketball, who's a co-host. You've heard my preamble. It's pretty great news for pretty bloody good news for Frankston basketball. I was going to swear on radio, but obviously pending the Labor Party forming government, which it's one of those things. July 2nd, and the electorate will decide that. But let our listeners know of sort of the motivation around you supporting what is a fantastic and much needed project.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you know, I'm incredibly excited that very, very early in the election campaign we made this really important commitment. And anyone who knows me knows I'm a complete sports nut. You know, my background has been involvement in sport from community club level all the way up to national boards, and I've played a bit myself. And for me, you know, supporting an organisation like the Frankston Basketball Association and that vision to say let's have a regional and community hub where we can bring elite events and showcase them to our community and more broadly, but also I think incredibly importantly having that grassroots connection with the schools program is what it's all about. You know, stronger, happier communities, sport has a huge role in it, and having talked to Nathan very many times over a long period of time and, you know, had a lot of involvement with parents and principals about the broad impact of basketball and how many people play in our community, it was just absolutely clear to me that we had to make sure that this project was completed, you know, and its vision is fulfilled. And that's why I'm so excited with, you know, this commitment for the additional money so we can make this everything that everyone's always hoped it can be.
Absolutely, and just talking before we got you on air, that the project at the current status, the budget's $12.45 million. It is missing some key elements, so your commitment will see the project finished as Frankston Basketball first hope. But Darren does have a question for you, my co-host, and then I'll grab you after the question.
So, okay. Sorry, but you just throw me under the bus, Peter. I don't really have a question for you, but. Yeah, that's what he does, so that's okay. So you're a sport...
Radio.
Yeah, exactly, yes. So what's your involvement in the past been with Frankston? Have you played, been down there and played, or...?
Oh, look, I haven't played. As a basketballer, I'm a very good squash player, I think it's fair to say. But I've been down, I've supported lots of matches. I was really excited last year when the Opals came. And I was there watching Matty Garrett play.
Great having you courtside with our state member Sonia Kilkenny.
We had a great time. And, that match, I mean, that's a good example of why we need this extra funding for the big events, because, you know, it sold out within an hour, those tickets. And there's just such a demand to see those sorts of matches. And Sonia and myself, big advocates too of girls and women playing sport. You know, I just think it's so important for young girls to be able to see role models like Maddie, who's terrific, and say, I can do that. No, I can be strong and proud and get out there and compete.
And aspire. So, and I think that's the wonderful thing of it, Peter. Obviously, the announcement on Tuesday. And for those listeners that want to get further updates on Peter's and Labor's commitment, they can check out the Frankston Basketball website. There's a press release on there, and also Peter's Facebook page. But that's what Tanea Phillips, our point guard, Lady Blues point guard, who's also been a scholarship holder at the RAS, that's what she said. It was one of those conversations after the announcement where she said that she played her juniors at Dandenong and they had a WNBL program. That was something that really did inspire her to see elite athletes and see women role models that you don't, again, being a male, putting my female hat on, it's something that through our society and through our sort of community, you don't get much of, to be honest with you, the mentoring and aspiring. And I think that's just a wonderful thing. And I agree with you with the schools program. I think that's going to be a real game changer for our association, where we can better work with especially the sort of developing schools in Carrum Downs and Cannanook, that we get to work with some key stakeholders and produce some really great community outcomes.
Yeah, and look, and particularly for, you know, for kids that are in primary school and early secondary school who perhaps don't realise that broader horizon is something that they can aspire to, just having that opportunity with the schools program to experience some elite and professional coaching, to be there in the atmosphere, and then to go, you know, for the boys to see David and Ryan play and the girls to see Maddie and Tania play, they can then see, look, that's the future that is open and possible to me. And I think that's exciting. I did try at the announcement to give Tanaya a few hints about how to shoot from beyond the 3.1.
Yeah,
she seemed to think that she had better skills than me. I don't know where that came from, but
yes, no,
it was great to meet her. She's a terrific woman.
Absolutely, and I would sort of continue that sentiment to we had the state member for Frankston, Paul Edbrook, there. His shooting style, he looks like he's a good fireman or a good teacher, whatever his previous profession was. And James Dooley was not far off, the mayor of Frankston City, who have been a great partner in this. And obviously yourself working with Frankston City is going to be a key relationship moving forward. But Peter, we are going to have to pull up stumps on this interview.
No worries.
We only get an hour, and Mitch has given me the wind up. But thank you again. It's great having you on the Basketball Show. Look forward to having you on more coming into the election. The Labor commitment of $2.55 million for the facility expansion at Frankston Basketball is a wonderful thing. And, look forward to July 3rd and the outcome of the election.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I will see you next time I'm down at the stadium, which will be very, very soon.
Fantastic.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. That was Peter Murphy, the Labor candidate for Dunkley. Darren, completely rude. Way to be rude, mate. Good job. And we are going to air. And
sorry, mate, I'm a Labor supporter. Liberal supporter.
I know you are. But, you know, Frankston Basketball gets a commitment of $2.55 million and you show great disdain. That's the kind of stuff that won't get people like this on this show.
But have you gone and asked the Liberal supporter to back it?
Mate, Malcolm Turnbull was in town on Thursday. We received $4.95 million from the Liberal government.
No, that's twice as much.
Couldn't even stop in to say hello.
Well, there you go. He's given you twice as much and hasn't got time.
I know.
How good's that?
Oh, mate.
Cost you nothing.
Well, you would have thought he would have come down. So in terms of me contacting the Liberal Party, Liberal Party contacting Frank's Basel, we look forward to catching up with...
Labor seat, though, isn't it?
No, it's Bruce Bilson. Well, it's now in caretaker, but Bruce Bilson's held the seat for... Done a great job, Bruce, to be honest with you. He's been a guy that's, I think, he's been re-elected seven times. He's been a great supporter of Frankston Basketball, sort of wearing that hat. But just thought you were a little bit off colour there, mate. You're wearing the blue headphones. It's okay. You can be professional. But not having a question, mate, that's poor form. But anyway, we'll
talk about it in the ad break.
We can talk about it on air. I'm sure our listeners are thinking, what's going on? Bobby, I love you, mate. You're one of these guys that you polarise, and you've just got me on the other end of the spectrum there, mate. But you are on the RPPFM Basketball Show, 98.7 FM, brought to you by Bobcats Basketball and Frankston Basketball, powered by Frankston Mitsubishi. And I'll tell you what, I'm a little bit sore, Bobby. I've just been at, just come from CrossFit Free Fall and Seaford there. And I'll tell you what, Simo has absolutely got me working real hard. So You look excited. There you go. What are you?
Simo? Who's Simo?
Simo is the proprietor down at CrossFit Seaford. Okay. Freefall. Oh, mate, you've come in. You're a bit flat. I think it's been the traffic.
It's a long week.
It's been a long week.
It's been a very long
week. You've got your blue headphones on, so it's all things, you know. Blue. Anyway, let's not go there. Hey, and speaking of all things blue, we have Frankston Blues High Performance Manager Steve Blackley on the line. Steve, you're with Nathan Jolly and Darren Marnie Walsh of the Basketball Show. Welcome, mate.
Evening, gentlemen.
Well played, mate. Are you about half an hour out of Mount Gambier? You're heading straight to the stadium?
Yeah, just going through Hoppers Crossing as we speak. So
Hoppers Crossing, mate. It's 6:30.
I just messed that one up. Yeah, but a long journey ahead of us.
Just coming out of Hamilton. It could be better. It could be coming from Panola with a dozen of the Coonan Warriors' best reds for Darren.
Do they bus it across nowadays, or you all individually drive?
No, we've got the it's got a 21-seater bus. Yeah. Grant Wallace behind the wheels, and making our way up, and stop for lunch somewhere, and stop for a few stretch breaks, and we should get up there. In plenty of time to have a pre-game and get ready to take on the Pioneers.
Which will be, I'm guessing, a fairly difficult task. You know, they're pretty good tight outfit.
Yeah, the Pioneers are obviously the back-to-back national champions, so probably no harder ask than driving up to Mount Gambier. But the team are pretty confident. I think we match up really, really well against them, and we're definitely not making this long trip with the intentions of not winning. So it'd be a hell of a win to go up there and get our season really rolling by knocking off a team like Mount Gambier.
And shows how committed our high performance manager is, Steve, doing the 10-hour round trip to make sure that the senior Blues men get the W. Steve, let's talk about last week. The men back on the winners list. We had Grant Wallace on last week. The Blues men were on a 7-game losing skid. It was one of those things where it was looking like curtains fairly early, but turned their form around against Melbourne, getting the 76-61 victory at Melbourne. You were at that game. The boys' form looks like it's now starting to turn.
Yeah, no, I think Saturday night was a good one for them to get the win. I guess the results in the rest of the league means we're not that far away from quite a few other teams if we can get on a little streak. But the first quarter was set the game up. It was an outstanding first quarter by the guys, and Melbourne are an awkward team to play against, and pretty dull atmosphere out at MSAC, but they managed to get the win and get some confidence. Had a good couple of sessions on the track this week, and they're ready to take on Mount Gambier. But I think it was just good to get that win, and you know they've been close in a few of those losses, so they had to get over that hurdle. And we were challenged by Melbourne late in the fourth quarter to sort of overcome that, and then get the win will be good for us.
Talking all things VJBL, so going from the senior Blues to the juniors, obviously your role, high performance manager, you oversee the Blues representative program. The juniors obviously critical in that. We have the Classic coming up. Are any teams, I know the under-18 girls, Mike Brookins, and we'll talk to Mike after the next break just about how his VJBL team's going, but any other teams qualified for the Classic?
No, only the 18 girls, which is was probably expected. Probably our strongest junior team with quite a few of them getting some D-ball action. Our under 12 boys and girls didn't miss out by too much, so a little bit disappointed not to get a second team in there. But our teams are travelling well. I think we'll have a few of our VC teams. I think will challenge for the VC reserve title, which would be a good thing as well.
And just lastly, Ryan Brokoff playing in the EuroLeague Final Four. What does that mean for Frankston Basketball and the Blues program, having a former junior on the international stage representing Cuban, which is just outside Moscow, in the top four European teams in the European League, which is the second best league behind the NBA? What does that mean for yourself and I guess the club that Rowdy's been able to achieve what he has this last week?
I think it was great. I mean, he had a huge game in the playoff for third and fourth, dropped 21 or 22 points, and I guess it shows to Frankston juniors out there that, you know, if you put the hard work in and are willing to sacrifice things and do all the little things to become elite, I guess anything's possible. And mate, Rowdy did it tough coming through juniors and wasn't on, you know, any, I guess, top level. You know, his junior teams didn't win BC titles or anything like that, and just kept plugging away and managed to get to the institute and over to college and never stopped working. And that's kind of what we're trying to instill in our juniors at the moment, that everyone wants to make the NBA or go to college or the Olympics and stuff, but there's a lot of hard work that needs to be put in to get there. And Rowdy showed that, yeah, you're able to do it if you're willing to put the time in. So hopefully a bit of an inspiration for the Lakers. It'd be good to get Rowdy back. I know the Boomers are playing some pre-Olympic games in Melbourne. Hopefully we get him down at Frankston and might be able to get him to do some work with our juniors and inspire them a little bit more.
Absolutely, and you mentioned the Boomers, David Anderson, of course, and Ryan Brokoff, two former Frankston Blues players, going to be key members of that team.
Should be locks.
Absolutely, Steve. We will wrap it up there. I know you're. I can hear the whiteboard in the background. You're obviously sort of drawing up plays and defense and things like that. Good luck. You know, I think it's one of those games tonight that unfortunately it's not being live streamed, because I think it might be one of those games where you don't expect much, but I think it's going to be a cracking game. And
they have broadband over at MacGyver.
They do. They usually live stream it, but I think they've undersold Frankston and they think they don't get enough viewers. But in saying
maybe they didn't want to get embarrassed when they lose tonight. So
there you go. Always looking for the positive. Good work. But good luck. Pass on our best wishes to the boys, and looking forward to seeing you get the W and get you back on the basketball show soon enough.
We'll have Dwayne and Rob.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. Dwayne.
See ya.
Yep.
So they'll be in next week.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we'll have a chat with them about their game. Okay. Did you get 20 last week? 20 rebounds.
My research assistant didn't give me the individual stats.
I don't think he did.
They got the win, but But Danes, he's one of those guys, he's just going to have to chip away at it.
I reckon I could have beat Melbourne Tigers myself, mate.
Mate, you've come in, you've rolled your sleeves up. I mean, Carly Chatfield's still waiting for a ride or reply. She listened to our podcast and she asked who you were, because next time she sees you, she's going to give you a bit of what's for, because
She'll be acknowledging the fact that the WNBA is falling apart, and that she probably won't have a job next year.
No, well, she doesn't play in the WNBL. She's Siebel, but anyway, it's a good argument. You don't know what you're talking about. And just for our listeners, the Blues getting their second win. So the Blues men are currently 2-6, sitting stone motherless last in the South Conference, which isn't great. And the game tonight against Mount Gambier, who are also in their conference. And the Blues are up against it because Kilsyth are in their conference. They've lost twice to Kilsyth now. Mount Gambier, Geelong, these are tough teams. Hobart are sitting on top and they got Frankston by 30. So if Frankston are going to get head-to-head and squeezed into the four, they're going to have to beat a good team. And there's no better team than the reigning champion on their home deck tonight.
Did you see over the weekend that Western Port had their first loss?
No, I didn't.
Men's?
Mm. I didn't. But we'll get to that on the run sheet, mate. That's the last segment with Manny. But that's okay. You've done your research. You are on the RPPFM Basketball Show, 98.7 FM on your dial. We do have a big show to continue on with. We're going to be talking Lady Blues. Bobby, I know you like your Lady Blues, wearing your blue headphones. We've still got Manny Hendricks Jr. to get on the line. The NBA is heating up. The Western Conference, Eastern Conference finals are happening. Let's not go there, but I think the Spurs were tipped last week by everyone in the studio, except for Darren. He said OKC, and Manny, I'm sure, is going to talk about it, because I saw him yesterday at the stadium. He just kept saying, I told you, the Thunder.
Well, it's interesting.
Here comes the Thunder.
Because they're 1-1 now, obviously, but we won't talk about it because we'll keep following the run sheet.
Oh, look at him getting all facetious now and, you know, tongue-in-cheek stuff. The velvet sledgehammer over there, Bobby. You're a hard man. We do have Mike Brookins. Mike, VA Lady Blues head coach Mike Brookins. Welcome to the basketball show, mate.
Thank you. Once again, good evening, gentlemen.
There you go. Have you had your run up the Oliver's Hill this week?
Well, say again?
Have you been up Oliver's Hill tonight? It's normally the Friday afternoon.
Not tonight.
The Rocky music. Getting ready for your VJBL. Who are you playing tonight?
We play Hawthorn.
Hawthorn. And yep. You've
association of the year, Hawthorn.
Yes. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. They don't have a $12.5 million facility expansion coming their way, do they?
They've probably got them all. Hey? They've all around them.
I wouldn't read into those awards, mate. But Mikey, we're going to talk about the Seabull and Lady Blues and their great win on Saturday night against Ballarat Rush, and you've got the weekend off. But talk us through your under-18 VJBL girls team. Had some injuries, but playing well enough to be identified and selected in the Bass Victoria Classic or the National Classic, which is the premier underage national club-based tournament on the basketball calendar. Congratulations on making that. But talk us through the progress of the girls, and you must be pretty wrapped to be selected, and looking forward to the Queen's Birthday weekend when the games start.
Definitely. It's the first time for most of the girls, except for maybe one. We've had a myriad of injuries throughout the year. I would say probably 95% of the games we played with either six or seven players. So it's a testament to how hard the girls work and how well they actually play together. You know, sometimes teams lift when they don't have as many players. Maybe that's because they know no matter what mistake they make, the coach can't sub them out or whatever that is. But to their credit, they've played some really tough matches and come out on the end of it. They needed to win the last 3 weeks in a row to make it in. They've done that. So all those, whether we win or lose tonight, really won't have an impact because we'll finish fourth head to head, which means we qualify. Like I said, the season, you know, we lost every big we've had. We pretty much lost. So we've been playing small ball, a little bit of a Golden State style, I guess you could say, just to get through. But like I said, to the girls' credit, they've really worked hard and battled, and they definitely earned their spot in the Classic this year.
Well, I know everyone at the club is really proud. And a few weeks ago, you beat Nutterwadding at Nutterwadding, and Nutterwadding are a powerhouse in our competition. So, and I think that was the first time that had happened for a number of years. So that was a milestone. And then, when you mentioned that a lot of the girls haven't played in the Classic before, it shows that a lot of them have been playing 16s and 14s and 12s and come through the program, but yet to achieve a Classic representation, which I think is fantastic. And good luck with that. But let's talk about last week. I thought last week was potentially the win of the season so far. Down coming into the fourth quarter at Ballarat against a very good Ballarat Rush team. 5-1 against you guys in the last quarter. Everything was going against you, but you get the win by a point. Kelly Bowen hitting the game winner, which was good job by Kel. But it looks like there was some great execution down the stretch. There was a little bit of controversy at the very end with a foul on a three-point shooter of theirs, but unfortunately the player missed the two free throws. Made the one, but we got the W by a point. You must have been pretty happy about that, Mikey. I think that's I think the improvement with the girls has been significant. But you coaching okay yourself?
Definitely, it was a very big win. I think every girl in the locker room, whether they played 5 minutes, no minutes, or 20, all felt a sense of accomplishment. It's one of those wins where you can say it's transformative. For a team, because we've in the losses we have had, we've always had that opportunity to either go ahead, to tie, or to even it up, and we just haven't been able to get over that hump. But it seems like we were able to do that. It was a tough task because, like you said, Ballarat's one of the probably I would say they're the best shooting team in the competition. They're definitely the best 3-point shooting team in the competition. So to hold them below their season average playing man-to-man is a huge win for us. We've been struggling defensively. I thought the defensive effort and attention to detail was phenomenal. And offensively, playing against zone for 40 minutes is very trying because after 2 or 3 minutes, they know what you're trying to do. And very, very rarely does a coach put in more than two zone offensive sets and a couple of quick hitters. So it took a fair bit of timeouts and redrawing up things for us to be able to continue to execute on the offensive end. And to the girls' credit, they did a really good job of paying attention and getting out there and executing what I asked them to do in the timeout. So all around, I thought it was our best performance. collectively, we finally put four quarters together, and we got the result. So I was very, very happy with it, and I think the girls are still riding a little bit high from it. Also, in the past 2 days, training, you can see there's a bit of a hop in their step, I guess you could say, and they're really looking forward to the next challenge against Bendigo in the next weekend.
It looks like the bookends there, and Kelly and Carla are working well. They obviously had a combined game high 52 points out of 76, so contributing quite significantly to the team. All's going well, obviously.
Yes, the one of the major focuses of mine in the off season was to find a system that could definitely bring those two to the forefront and allow them to score in different areas. Unfortunately, just through a couple of mishaps, we weren't being able to. I like to run Kelly's bow on at three, but we haven't been able to do that in recent games. But this, with the new addition of Katie to our team, Katie Jewell, it's allowed us to be just a little bit deeper and allow me to move Kelly back to the three, which makes our offense flow even better and gives Kelly a lot more one-on-one opportunities against smaller players in the block, and also gives Kayla an opportunity to play four, which definitely stretches defenses. They had no answer for both of them, and then one of their most, I guess, important pieces in their defense and offense is their 6'5 center, Joy Burke, ended up getting into foul trouble, which hurt them considerably. So, yeah, they both are really thriving in the offense, and Kelly's doing a really good job with her leadership this year also.
No, and I think it's going to be hard. I think we've got the two top scorers in the team at the moment with Kayla and Kelly. So it's going to be hard at the very end when the C will have to make a decision on the MVP if it's going to be Kayla or Kelly. But
KK.
Potentially it might be co-MVPs, which would be...
Yeah, I think they've both either been on Team of the Week or Player of the Week for every week maybe except for one in the season. So should be a good race.
Mikey, thanks for joining us again. You are becoming a regular. You are the Basketball Show Zone. We anointed you last week. Great win against Ballarat. You know, they were coming off a four-game winning streak, so they were in great form on their home deck. So getting them by a point really down the stretch on the back of just good execution, good coaching, and the girls really did their job. So thank you again. Good win on the weekend, and enjoy this weekend. No basketball. You got much planned?
Just spend some time with the family. You know, they make a lot of sacrifices during the year when I'm really busy. So it's my turn, you know, go see some hockey games. And then probably take the wife out for dinner and a movie.
You're a smart man. Good work. Happy wife, happy
appreciate
life.
Thank you for having me on well the done. Show. You guys have a good evening.
Thank you. Thanks, Mikey. That was Mike Brookins, the VA Lady Blues head coach, doing some great work. The girls are hanging on to fourth, which is nice.
Gee, you wouldn't want one of those bookends to fall over, though.
No.
They'll be in deep trouble.
They will be. Just means other people have to step up, which is what Mikey spoke about. But you being the pessimist, you're always just, you know, glass half empty there, Bobby. But
just pointing out.
But what he's touching on there with the juniors coming through, I think that's been the real sort of shift, if you like, from previous years, is that girls are coming out and backing themselves. You know, Sammy Simmons making a layup down the stretch on Saturday night was fantastic. Carly Chatfield hit a couple of threes. Obviously, Kelly and Kayla are doing what they're doing. Tanaya Phillips has been fantastic. But it's that next layer of player that's doing a great job. And now with Emma Nankervis back in, the 16-year-old, 6'5", Victorian representative, back from an ankle injury. We're hoping the second stage of the season... we pick up a few more wins and we're finals bound.
And obviously the program will benefit by having your youth league program back.
Potentially.
Yeah. Because that's really where those kids should be.
Oh, not really. If they're good enough to be playing Seabowl, they should be playing Seabowl. What, you think they should be playing under 23s and sitting in a program for 4 years? Yeah, no, mate. That's probably the difference that we have. If you're good enough at Frankston, you'll be playing Seabowl, which is what those girls are doing. Those girls that are playing now, under 18s, still got 2 years in under 20, so for us, they're not going to be qualified for youth league until 2019. What do we do? Do we say to them, don't play Seabowl now, just finish your juniors off and let's not have any juniors running around for Seabowl? Mate, we are coming to the closing stages of the show. You know when Mitch is trying to be on time, he's sort of giving us the the rundown. It's probably another 10 minutes to go for all your Peninsula Hoops news. And speaking of Peninsula Hoops, we're trying to get Mr. Manny Hendricks on the line again. And I know you keep saying it's a bad time to call him at 6:30 p.m. on a Friday night. Because he can't hear his phone.
Well, generally, any time's a bad time to call him. Because exactly. He just doesn't answer sometimes.
Exactly. But before we get Manny on the line, we are going to talk about Ryan Brokoff's really significant performance for Lokomotiv Kuban, Krasnodar. Hopefully, I've got that right. I don't really have a great Russian accent. But Ryan's team made the Final Four of EuroLeague. And just for our listeners...
They haven't played that game yet.
Yes, they have. Yeah,
they have.
Yep. Third versus fourth,
and they won that.
They did.
Oh,
and,
good. And so he's into the final.
No, they were playing off for third and fourth. That's what third and fourth playoff would be.
So they didn't make the final.
No, they lost to CSKA Moscow.
Because I remember hearing they made the Final Four. Mm-hmm. And that seemed like it'd been going on for weeks.
Yeah, it's normally it is played over. I'm not sure if it's played over a weekend or it's staggered out by a week. But a little bit of trivia: Dave Anderson
coming back to Melbourne United.
Potentially, but he also played for CSKA Moscow and won a number of EuroLeague championships. So that's nice having just Frankston.
He has a very big trophy cabinet, though.
Which is why Frankston need that high performance centre, Bobby. That's one of those things.
Put Anderson's trophies in.
Just to produce more Andersons and more Brokoffs would be nice. But showing we punch above our weight class at Frankston, but obviously doing something well. But Ryan had an outstanding game. He had 21 points, 7 of 10 shooting, hit 4 three-pointers. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, really doing it all in 38 minutes.
He's going to be one of those players at Rio that everyone's just going to stand back and go, wow, where's he been? Who is that guy?
Well, the thing is, he's improving. So he's not the one-trick pony that many players potentially are. You know, you get good shooters, you get good rebounders. Good. He does a lot of things really well.
You can say over the last year, how he's actually transformed his game, how much better he's actually becoming. And that's confidence.
And I was fortunate to see him break out at the FIBA World Championships in Barcelona. I remember you guys calling me over in...
3 in the morning?
Barcelona. Yeah, it was one of those phone calls, wasn't it? With a coat hanger. Hanging off a balcony trying to get reception. But
top of the mountain in the snow.
But it is phenomenal. I know basketball isn't in a great stage at the moment. You've got netball coming out.
5-year contract, Channel 9. And
you've got the WNBL.
To think that they actually said, look, we'll invest in our own program and pay for it ourselves in the first year at Fox. Now, does that tell you something? Hello, WNBL.
Strategy.
Yes. I wonder how Paul Maley's going. Has he still got a job?
I think Paul's still there.
We should give him a call and see.
Anthony Moore's probably a guy we need to get on the line because they are talking about a broadcasting deal that I know Boddy Nagy keeps talking about, the imminent, which I think the Oxford Dictionary has got that page has been ripped out.
It's unfortunate, but it is pretty disgusting.
So we'll talk about that really quickly. This week, Netball Australia coming out and announcing that they've signed a 5-year deal, free-to-air deal for their professional league.
Good luck to them.
ANZ. Yep.
Very good.
It is. And it's great for netball. It's great for women's sport.
Yep.
Obviously, the ABC budget cut. So the ABC that was broadcasting the WNBL, the women's basketball.
Major sponsor of them.
Absolutely. Ching Ching. That... basketball's now off the TV, women's basketball. We're the second ranked nation in the world in basketball. Do you think it's going to impact our rankings?
I've already said to you, they won't medal this year. The Rio Olympics, the Opals will not medal.
Put that in the vault. I reckon they will medal, but I'm more concerned and 2020
watch,
and beyond.
The decline in women's basketball. It is declining at a rapid rate already. Basketball has been losing to netball, now it's losing to soccer, now it's losing to football, now it's losing to cricket. Girls are making choices and walking with their feet because the administration of basketball, the women's level, has let it down, unfortunately, unbelievably bad.
Bang, and I'd concur those sentiments here. I think they're
absolute disgrace.
It's almost crisis stage. We spoke about it
we've talked about this, though. Where's the public outcry?
Well, it's one of those things. Well,
it's quiet. It's all quiet. They're almost happy for it to just dissolve and walk away.
it might be in the too hard basket. But with that, who's facilitating that outcry? You know, well, if this was a Collingwood Footy Club, what's Eddie McGuire doing?
Well, that's he'd be buying it.
Not so much, well, you know, him, you know, Eddie being able to facilitate a united voice, and that's a disappointing thing. I mean, where's Andrew Gaze on this? You know, well, where are our elite athletes?
Sean,
I mean,
Timms.
To a point, yeah, absolutely. You know, who are the ones that are going to stand up and say this is not good enough? You know,
and that's not obviously happening at the moment, and it is unfortunate because I think what's going to happen is especially with the WNBL, Melbourne Boomers looks like their consortium will get knocked back. It looks like Adelaide 36ers girls are gone.
Southeast Queensland pulled out mid-season.
So you're going to have a competition now potentially down to six, maybe five. You won't run a competition with that few people, so it'll all be over, Red Rover.
So you wearing your Basketball Australia CEO hat, what do you do? What's the solution?
Go and talk to Larry. Go and have a good chat to Larry and say, help. How do we get this back on track? Because quite clearly, he brought in the guns. He brought in the people with vision and some business nous, combined it with some basketball expertise, and had the network to connect it, to get it back on TV, get it back in people's faces.
And it's a concern. I mean, there's a netball team coming out of the Collingwood Footy Club. There's a netball team coming out of GWS. It's one of those things that it's almost like Basketball Australia, whether it's a strategy or it's not a strategy, but we need to start getting partners involved in our sport. And I mean, that's you know, personally, as a GM of Frankston Basketball, I don't hear from Basketball Australia. There is no strategic, hey, you know what, this is how we're going to work together. Yeah, we're involved in Siebel, but innovation is driven by the Siebel clubs. You know, there is no innovation coming out of the league. There's no three-game finals. You know, our all-star team in our Siebel, it's made up of Americans at the end of the year. You know, you're only allowed two imports in your Siebel team, yet the league's dominated. You know, so that's something that we push. Three referees should be really two referees, you know. But this is all club-based driven initiatives. That's the worry I have. It's like, where's the, you know, WNBL on its knees? Let's hope the Siebel doesn't follow suit, because that would be a travesty for the sport.
I think you'll find eventually, well, basketball's underplayed, or it's under, you know, it's in the spiral stage, I think. You've got the NBL itself, who's broken away from Basketball Australia. You've got the Champions League now that coming through. Don't be surprised if that starts to become a threat. It's independently ran. It's got nothing to do with Basketball Australia.
The free market always seems to
and if these guys get
resolve itself
true, you know, hold of what they're trying to do and get some, you know, marketing and some proper sponsorship behind it, you won't have a Siebel program, because I don't think there's anyone there that's like, you know, you knock on the door and no one's home.
Well, and that's the thing. The grassroots level basketball participation, it is everyone's game. It's going through the roof. Roof, your Bobcats team over in Casey Basketball Association is kicking goals. Frankston's kicking goals.
Grassroots is there, and it's amazing. At the mass participation level, there is still the masses. Having Basketball Victoria introduce the new walking basketball, I mean, I'm not sure what that initiative's really about, because as I explained to my wife last night, she did say, well, you can walk now. You can, actually. So
I did have a laugh when I saw that. I thought,
was that a 1st of July joke? Or,
well, April 1st. But I looked at it and I thought, have they really come up with this and then gone to the government to say, hey, you know what, we've got a new initiative.
But did you
see a little novelty called walking basketball?
But then I did see that Medibank Private was there first, and a new announcement for their sponsorship. So maybe it's something to do with participation, everybody getting active again.
Potentially.
But
potentially.
I can't see teams and leagues coming out.
Well, the concern is if you don't have that flagship high-level competition healthy, people aren't going to be interested to play walking basketball because they won't know what basketball is. So
that's right.
Whether you're trying to diversify in other, you know, differentiations of the sport,
it's all good
great.
And well, but you still need to have the
core product.
The top of the ladder that people want to aspire to.
Well, can you believe we are finished.
We're done.
We're done. We've got a cracking tune for you to drive home with your bloody angry pills.
Who's this? Bit of Angry Anderson.
No, AC/DC, mate. AC/DC. Yeah, absolutely. With a little bit of Bon Scott, the original.
The
but
original.
It has been a big basketball, RLP fan basketball show. Thank you, Bobby, for your attendance tonight. Work on those questions.
Or am I back on the bench?
You're hosting next week. I can be the guy that throws spears. Thank you to our guests, Mr. Steve Blackley, Mike Brookins. Unfortunately, we couldn't get Manny, but of course we had Peter Murphy, Labor candidate for Dunkley, committing $2.55 million to Frankston Basketball's High Performance Centre, mezzanine level and retractable seating, which is what we need. I've spoken enough. Enjoy your weekend. Mitch, thank you again. We'll see you next week on The Basketball Show.